listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Man, I swear that nigga tripping off that shit again. Pick him up and sit him in cold water. Then I order someone to bring him Vicodin. I hope they take the pain away from the feeling that he felt today. You know when you part of Section 8 and you feel like no one can relate. Because you are a loner. Marijuana, endorphins make you stronger. I'm in the house party tripping off my generation. Sipping cough syrup, black as water. Never no pancakes in the kitchen. Man, not one of our lives is caught up in the daily superstition that the world is about to end. Who gives a fuck? We never do listen unless it comes with an 808, a melody, and some hoes. PlayStation and some drink. Technology by my soul. Looking all around, I see in a big crowd that's a product of me, and they probably relatives relevant for a rebel's dream. Yep, her president is black. She black too, purple label on her back, but that tab is light blue. She take it straight to the head. Then she look at me. She got ADHD. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tells podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Monday, coming to you kind of in the middle of the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Karen had a day off of work.
I did,
and she wanted to do the podcast.
Yes sir.
So that's why we're doing this. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, getting you through the end of your day, probably out there in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in a cubicle maybe. You can find us on iTunes. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. Today's podcast is sponsored and it is brought to you by a very sexy sponsor. If I can find some music, just randomly click on something. Yeah, it's brought to you by a very special sponsor, and that is Adam and Eve.
Come on, how many ways?
Let me count the ways. You just don't know.
Adam and Eve is trying to help you to spice it up in the bedroom, okay? They trying to get some more than salt and pepper to taste on it. They're trying to break out the adobo. They're trying to break out, you know, Lowry's, whatever you need. They're trying to help you out, and they want to help you out by letting you go get a special offer at adamandeve.com. And it's very simple how to get it. You just go pick out one item. I think anyone can do that. We've been on the internet long enough. You put it in your cart, and you're going to get half off of that item if you put in code TBGWT at checkout. But they also want to give you more things. They want to give you the big O kit, which stands for orgasm. I'll let you guys in on a little secret there. The big O stands for orgasm. It comes with exclusive climax gel and a mini vibrator. And they also want to give you free shipping. So take advantage. All you gotta do is go pick out a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else, and you get that item at 50% off, plus free shipping and the big O kit. Like, how are you not taking advantage of this deal already? Take advantage of it again if you already have. Okay? You know you saw something else on the site you was thinking about and you just didn't pull the trigger. Well, you still got time.
Yes, you do.
That's code TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Code TBGWT in the checkout box at adamandeve.com. All right, Karen, why don't you start us off with some random thoughts today?
Yes, I have some random thoughts. My first random thought is this, y'all. Nothing makes you feel like a 12-year-old kid knocking out a big-ass display in a grocery store in front of everybody, and they make a loud-ass noise, and everybody turns and looks at you, and all you can do is look at everybody like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's almost like a prank. I don't know why they had it sitting there.
I don't know why.
But it wasn't anything important. It was like some Twinkies or something.
I knocked down a whole fucking display. And what happened, technically, it wasn't my fault. Whenever they set the display up, they set it like right beside like these refrigerator doors. So I had reached into the refrigerator to get Roger some Gatorade. And when I opened up the refrigerator door swung open. And it swung like right beside the display. And I guess the door was heavier than the Twinkies. And the whole thing scattered. And like everybody, I was right beside the checkout line. So everybody checkout line started looking. The cashier girl started looking. I was like, holy shit, now everybody looking at me.
Yeah, and everybody saw it, so it was embarrassing. They knew it was us. And then
I couldn't even run away.
Karen started picking it up, which I never would have done.
Yes.
And then the person that worked there was like, I got it, it's okay. And Karen would just keep picking it up. So then,
I just felt so bad.
Because Karen was picking it up, I was like, I can't let her do it by herself. So then I had to go pick it up too and put it back on the display. But really, we could have just walked off. It was no big deal. It was really their fault.
I think it was a middle thing for me.
Yeah, I knew you was going through it, so I just helped out. But yeah, even one of the people that was in line was like, that's not your fault.
Right,
like, the way they had it said, it was like I said, if a hidden camera would have came out and been like, it's prank time, I would have been like, yeah, because why would that make sense to put it past a door that people are gonna open? You know, people are gonna open it and knock it over. So it was just stupid.
Yes, it was. And I felt like I was 12. And one thing, we seemed like, okay, now what do I do? Because everybody kind of stopped moving. And it made a loud ass noise too, which is horrible.
Was that it?
Nope.
Oh, keep going.
I'm sorry. And my next random thought is, one thing I like about getting old is that you begin not to care. Saturday I had went to kickboxing class, and I when I went to kickboxing class, I like to wear like yoga pants because they're very convenient. And I got them yoga pants that kind of pull over your belly like the full length yoga pants, and when you're squatting and moving and down dogging and shit, you know, your whole body's covered, because yoga pants like to kind of creep up and show all parts of your body. So I like to wear the yoga pants to kind of come up above your waistline. So I had my yoga pants, and I had a sports bra on, and I had like a little light shirt to kind of, one of them shirts to kind of catch the sweat to go over it. So I didn't realize this, and I wore a jacket because it was cool. But when I got to yoga class, I didn't realize that I forgot to shave up underneath my arms. But one thing about being old, you say, fuck it. I took that jacket off because it got hot. I took that jacket off and was like, look, y'all gotta see me kickbox and swing and grunt and pump like everybody else with all the hair up underneath my arms. And I didn't even care. So I was proud of myself, because one period of time I would have cared and been like, you know what, I was like, no, my goal is to work out today, so I'm gonna get my ass up and I'm gonna start working out. And I was glad I even hit my goal on my Fitbit. I have it scheduled for like 5,000 steps. Most of the time I go over that, but I have it scheduled for like 5,000 steps. So I was like, cool, you know what, I got my 5,000 steps literally in that one workout. And so I had a good time in kickboxing class, honey. My arms were flailing like everybody else. And if you seen it, you seen it. You didn't. Fuck it. Everybody know hair grow up underneath your arms.
Yeah. And really, when it comes to stuff like that, I mean, if somebody's really in there more worried about who got hair under their arms than the exercises they're doing, then they doing it wrong.
You're doing it all wrong. My next thing is, I know we was talking about like the internet, the light web and the dark web, and I was joking about how I'd never been out on the dark web before. And so I realized that I like being on the light web, and I'll ask myself this question. I said, am I web racist, like internet racist? Do I only like to be on the white side and the light side of the web? Well, I said, if I am racist, I want to keep the web light again. That's my goal, you know. Like, you know, I my mission is to keep the web light again. Stay away from the dark side of the web.
The dark web does seem to be where all the crime is happening,
right? So I stay my ass far away from it. You know, I imagine it's like the movies. You just trip and fall and go in there, and it's people doing shit they ain't got no business doing. You know, and I understand the internet, quote unquote, don't work like that. But you know, I just imagine you going in there and people are like, psst, psst, I got something to sell you. Psst. You want to steal an ID number? Psst. I'll be like, you know what? Let me stay over here on the bright side of the web where I guess the people, quote unquote, obey the law.
Nah, it's definitely, I mean, it's pretty dangerous over there, so.
Cause they make it sound so mysterious. They be like, the dark web. What the hell is it? I've never been down the street. Nobody gave me the telephone number, the zip code. I'd be like, is this some shit y'all making? I used to think the dark web was some shit they made up at once. Cause I was like, I've never been there. I've been on the internet.
Yeah, I know. In Wreck-It Ralph, it looked like it was the hood.
Didn't it though?
Like when they went to the dark web, it was kind of sketchy. You know, people selling credit cards on there,
right?
And bunch of identity information and hacking people and shit.
That's all I think about.
Viruses.
Right. I think if I take my ass out there, they'd be like, ooh, we got a good one. And I'd be one of the first ones to get all my shit stolen from me. So I am on the mission to make the web, light again, or quote unquote white again.
I mean, we could use some more internet safety. I feel like.
Ooh! Ah, the ghetto!
Feel like. It's the ghetto over there.
That's how I feel. I'm like, nah. Mm-mm. I don't know nothing about that side of town. Mm-mm. I stay over here in my nice, cozy cul-de-sac. My fenced-in community. With my web blockers. And my fucking business.
You got more?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I have been watching Agent Carter. And I really been liking it. I finished watching. I know I'm kind of behind. Mm-hmm. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm completely caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I know that Agent Carter ties into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I didn't watch Agent Carter when it was live. So I said with the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming up, I thought I'd get caught up on. I was only two seasons, the first season. I'm on the second season now. And it's really interesting going back and viewing it. And on the season two, they kind of get more into racism. And it's really, really neat how they just casually act like, well, this is just the way it is. Agent Carter and like this black dude went to a restaurant. And, I mean, not the restaurant, but like this, like, I guess bodega type of place. Mm-hmm. And the dude was like, are you okay? She was like, what the fuck you mean, am I okay? And she was like, and he was like, are you okay? And she was like, I won't change. He was like, well, you're gonna have to buy something. I was like, holy shit. So I do like the fact that, you know, because when it comes to this stuff, it's not perfect, but I do like the fact that in the second season they addressed it, you know, because you're talking about 1940s, 50s, and 60s, shit like that happened. Mm-hmm. And so it's more of a statement than a random thought. I am enjoying the fact that they are not skirting or hiding away or running away from racist shit because it did happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a Marvel property too, you know, but I like the way that Marvel kind of integrates those things sometimes. And that's a big thing. I know the season one people were mad because there were no, like, not a lot of black people in the show.
It wasn't.
And so people complained, and then over the summer, you know, when the next time they came back, they had some black castmates and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it was on two seasons. I think if it would have went for a third season, I think that they would have addressed even more things. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm not finished with the second season, but oh my god, there are times shit that like goes all the way back to like season one and season two, and I'm seeing shit, and you know when they said Jarvis and how it connects to the movies. I have really, because I've been kind of binging it, so I have really, really been having myself a ball. So if you're a big fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you have not seen Agent Carter, I suggest you go see it, because some of Agent Carter is actually the foundation of some of the things that they're now finding and going through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like some of this shit has been around for decades. So it's a really, really fun thing. I got one more thing. But I have really been enjoying binge watching Agent Carter. My last thing is something else about being old. And I may have said this. I got socks where they look the same, but they're different colors. So I had picked up two socks, the same pattern, but different colors, and wore them to work and did not care. One thing I like about getting old is some shit you just don't care about. Cause in one period, I'm like, oh, my socks don't match. I don't give a fuck. If you see them, you see them. You don't, you don't. You better be glad black ass showed up sometimes. That's the way I feel. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Okay. Yeah, nah, I definitely understand that. I think, you know, you get older that you do want to be more comfortable, but then also you realize, like, what's a waste of time? You know, and that's like, it's one of the reasons, like, I try to think about, like, online a lot with when people disagree about things. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is because we're different ages.
Correct.
You know, it's something that
we're at different stages in our lives.
And I know people that are younger don't like hearing that. Mm-mm. And I know people that are older don't always like hearing that.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is age and the experience does count for something. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that you're more idealistic. We can change the entire world. We just need to, you know, believe, or I got all the answers. No one's ever thought of them. How come we don't just do things this way? Those people are normally younger.
Yes, they are.
You know, and the older people are normally like, I'm cynical. I've seen the other side of this thing. I've seen people try to do this stuff before and fall short, or they're corrupt, or they're somehow flawed themselves, you know. And I think that's a big thing. So, and yeah, it comes out in little stuff like, you know, not caring if your arms are shaved,
mm-hmm,
or if your socks are matching, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's also a patriarchy thing, like you kind of get out of the quote-unquote roles that you do, you know. Because the thing is, a lot of times when you talk to old women, and I be laughing at my line when they're talking about your bra and panties, I don't give a fuck. You don't see if my bra and panty matches. Who gives a fuck? I'm coming to work or doing whatever. But you know, people argue about that shit online. I'm like, nigga, does this shit really even matter? Like, what the fuck? Y'all just wasting time because y'all bored and ain't got nothing to do. That shit don't matter.
Now, I haven't even seen that argument on the internet for years at this point.
Correct.
Like,
it's been a while, but I know periodically, like, it pops up.
When I first got on Twitter, that kind of shit would come up. But I would hope people are just, maybe my people are just over that, but I would hope that that's not a big thing. That's ridiculous.
Right, it's ridiculous. And from, fellas, let me know I'm wrong. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think your dick give a fuck if her bra and panties match. I don't think you'd be like, oh, you ain't matching today? I ain't gonna fuck you.
I mean, that's obviously true, but it's also just the thing where, like I said, that, like, to me, that's not even a thing, though.
Right.
That's not a thing people argue about or really fight about anymore. That's just like, I don't know. Like, that's some, maybe younger people than us are still having those conversations, and that's an age thing, because
right.
I mean, I've never known anyone in real life that talked about that. It was only the internet, and I hate to give the internet and social media more credit than it deserves with stuff like this, because it's not like leading the conversation, you know. That's not a big group of people.
Oh,
you know,
not.
So I don't want to give them no props for that shit. And then the other thing too, though, is when you get older, I think sometimes you see patterns and then you start being like, this is what's next in this pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think with the advent of social media being new to a lot of us, it was like, oh, we've now been on it long enough to see patterns and be like, I know how this is gonna go already.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I think it's been like 10 years for Twitter. I don't know how long for
Facebook. It's been 10 for Twitter, longer for Facebook. I mean, MySpace. I mean, there's a Black Planet. There's a bunch of stuff. But just the advent of social media, right, dating apps,
mm-hmm,
people are starting to see patterns now, and you can kind of sort it out. You know, I think the thing I really wasn't ready for was people that have social disorders being able to have contact with me.
Right.
That was something that I wasn't ready for, because I you know, in real life, if you know somebody that acts really fucked up, you just go, oh, I just won't be around that person.
Correct.
On the internet, you're always kind of around these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it took me having to know what was, to see the patterns and to spot things, and I had to learn and go through things. So, yeah, I definitely understand that. I did have a couple random thoughts. Well, actually, I only really had one.
Go ahead.
I got some Gatorade the other day, coming on to play basketball. From playing basketball, and the I don't know how this, what happened, but the clerk, I think maybe he might be into some side hustles, because I went up there and I'm buying my two Gatorades and I'm paying for it, and I'm like, yeah, man, and also, can I get a bag? And he just stopped and he just looked at me, and so, you know, I'm punching my code into the machine or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and I feel him looking at me, so then I stop and I look at him like, what? And he was like, what kind of bag? And I pointed at my Gatorades and said, you know, for that. And he was like, oh, okay.
Right,
okay.
He was like, oh, okay, yeah, like, oh, to put your Gatorade in the bag.
Right.
Not a bag.
But he worked at a convenience store. A bag for my Gatorade should have been the default. People probably ask for that shit all day. I don't know if I just look like the type.
What? Was it the code word?
I don't know. I don't know anything about drugs.
I'm
too much of a square.
I would get everybody arrested. No, I'm good.
I'm too much of a square to know the lingo and to be all up on it and to do, cause like, people on, when I said it on Twitter, people was like, yeah, you gotta ask him, like, what he got, you know, and stuff. I'm like, one, I'm not randomly buying drugs from some nigga I didn't plan on buying drugs from.
that wasn't the purpose of the trip.
Two, like, that could have been a setup. I don't know.
Correct.
And then three, I'm not cool. I don't do drugs. I don't know enough. I've been up there like, one drug, please.
Yeah.
I was just like, I would like a bag for my Gatorade and to go to my car and go home.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
People don't realize how much the squares mean you are. Like, I am really square. Like, I am the type of person where if you're trying to, like, fool somebody or pull a trick on somebody, please let me know in advance that you're trying to fool somebody, because if they come and ask me, I'm like, yeah, such. You were like, well, they wouldn't post no. I was like, bitch, you should have told me, because I didn't know it was a surprise. Like, you have to tell me. I'm the type of person that would get everybody arrested. I'm the type of person where, you know, people start using strange language, I'd be like, no, I don't want none, just because I don't even know what you offer. Like, that time we had went to that place, and I think that one was offering us a threesome, and I was like, nah, ma'am, or foursome. I was like, no, ma'am, I don't know what you offering, but I don't want it.
Yeah, I just don't want to be up in there like, one weed, officer, you know? Can I have an ounce of your finest marijuana, gentlemen? I'm here to make a purchase. I would like to procure some of your kush. Like, I'll just, no, mm-hmm. Thank you.
No, thank you. All on camera, all loud and shit, yeah.
I'm like the classically trained actor in
yes!
All the blaxploitation films.
With no facial hair. Well, I mean, you got facial hair, but you know, they know that don't have none.
Yeah, and all the blaxploitation films.
With
like,
the
you jive suckers, and then I come in
got
there.
Got all
like,
these degrees.
I come in there like, get your hands off of me!
Thine fine, sir. I'm like, too much.
You better watch out, Jack! That's like,
proper and shit.
I'm not making any impromptu
They would tell you to make it blacker. Shout out to what's the team. Make it blacker, sir. A little bit blacker.
Plus, weed sells itself and shit, so.
Yeah, it does.
You don't accidentally buy it. It's, that's felt like a setup from the DARE program.
Yeah, if I'm going to purchase weed, I know that, like, the code language, like, I'm gonna be in the know. Cause the thing about it is that, as old as I am, nobody has ever came to me and be like, you gonna buy some of this. No. Right. I'm out the loop, so I don't know where to get it, where to purchase it, none of that.
And I'm 1,000% sure that the lingo can't be go up to the counter of 7-Eleven and ask for a bag, because that would get them caught way too easy. Can I have a bag? What kind of bag? You under arrest, nigga. That's what kind of bag.
Come on.
The bag to put on these cuffs. You got the right to remain silent. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, man. Alright, let's get into the other news. LGBTQ news, and of course most of it's bad. This is from February. Ahead of Mardi Gras, New Orleans gay bars claim they're being targeted unfairly by the law. Last week, at least two popular New Orleans gay bars, including the Phoenix and Rawhide, cited for the state-run Office of Alcohol and Tobacco Control, ATC, While there aren't many details of citations, including what these bars were cited for specifically, at least one of the two gay bar owners believes they were unfairly targeted. On Thursday afternoon, ATC cited us that we were in violation of some state laws. The citations were not unlike what we have seen them recently give other gay bars. We plan on attending our hearing and stating our case, said Clint Taylor, who is the owner of the Phoenix. In his statement, Taylor also made clear that the incident was not a raid and that no patrons of the bar were arrested. He stresses that unlike riots and raids of years prior, and unlike the incident of Upstairs Lounge and the attack on a Post nightclub, where our queer brethren were assaulted and humiliated, in some cases lost their lives, this isn't what happened the night of the bar of his bar's ATC citation. But the fight is the same. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. We hope you stand with us.
Yeah, we're just more civil with it, but it still right. don't mean it ain't fucked up.
Right. If you're specifically, if you're targeting these bars and no other bars,
and y'all using these random citations that probably don't nobody even know is on the fucking books.
Right. And of course, it's all to affect the bottom line. We have suffered a dramatic loss in business directly affecting our bartenders' livelihoods, as well as a dramatic loss to the city and state in tax revenue. It's extremely important at this time.
It don't benefit nobody.
For our community to come together as a whole and support each other. We are and always will be stronger together as a unit. Yeah, it's also the thing where gay bars are considered like a safe space for the people of the LGBTQ community. So then you got people being like, we're going to shut this place down. So the only places you have to go are stay home or go to straight bars where you may not feel as safe.
Right. Cause at the end of the day, they don't want you there. That's right. All they're trying to tell you. We don't want you here.
So yeah, yesterday on February 27th, the New Orleans Human Relations Commission also issued a statement, which was in support of the New Orleans gay bars targeted by the ATC. So that's good. We are aware of the recent enforcement actions taken against the Phoenix, the Rawhide, and others, and we stand with the LGBTQ plus residents and our LGBTQ plus owned businesses, and we always will. These enforcement entities are not under the city's control, but we are concerned whenever our residents feel targeted. We're actively engaging all involved and will continue to do so. So, yeah, that's just, it's wild too, because you know that's a tourist weekend.
And that's why you trying to attack them,
right? Which is sad, you know, that somebody would, you know, because that's obviously coming from someone higher up in the government as an agency, be like, let's specifically try to ruin the Mardi Gras business and revenue and income for this bar and for the people of this community.
And it doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't benefit you. Don't y'all want as much money as possible? Don't y'all, because y'all get taxes off of this shit.
Right. Let's see what else happened. Alyssa Milano, she got in some hot water. She got backlash for a tweet where she said that she was trans and she was I'm a person of color. Now you may know Alyssa Milano, she is a white woman actress.
Okay, that's what I thought.
She was trying to say that she was this is her way of saying she wasn't being an ally to a community. So she sent out a message of support to her transgender sisters. The actress said an advocate responded to a question about whether she is trans by saying, I'm trans, I'm a person of color, I'm an immigrant, I'm a lesbian, I'm a gay man, I'm the disabled. However, because she is a straight white woman, people on Twitter called her out for being none of those things and having a fake experience and using the term the disabled. Her ill-advised message of inclusion was compared to an I don't see color approach. After reading some of the objections to her tweet, she followed up. I'm glad this tweet invoked conversation. I'm so sorry it offended some. I see you and I hear you. She added, adding that she intended to invoke the 13th century Persian poet, Jalaluddin Rumi, who said, this is a subtle truth. Whatever you are, you are. Well, oh, whatever you love, you are. To that, she got some supporters, but also more backlash, with followers telling her to read the whole poem. And oppression and intersectionality isn't an outfit that you decide to put on whenever you like. In all, it seemed Milano's intended message of empathy was not well received, but Milano neither deleted it nor backed down from posting more tweets. I try to remember the mission is more important than my hurt feelings, she said. By Monday, she was sharing a video of herself advocating for the Equal Rights Amendment. This Monday morning, I have a message for you. and she put the video up. Yeah, I get why people was offended, because there's gonna be people that, like, those designations come with experiences that mean things.
Correct.
And so for you to insert yourself as, even well-meaning, to insert yourself in it, some people are gonna not take you figuratively or, you know, in the way that you intended. I am a person of color, but I'm obviously not gay. I'm not an immigrant. I'm not disabled. So, you know, I can't speak for those groups. You know, I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. But she says, yeah, I'm everything you are, so Kirk. I'm everything, and so are you, Kirk. Don't be afraid of what you don't know or understand. No one wants to hurt you. We are all just looking for our happily ever after. That was her complete thing. But I will say this. I don't find it as problematic as I think a lot of people probably will. Mm-mm. Where it's like, you know, she canceled it, or this is going to come up every time she talks, or this is what I hate about allies and all that stuff. I get those feelings. I just don't necessarily share them. I don't really... I think she knows she's not. So I don't think she's trying to claim. It's not to me the same as like Dolezal.
No, it's not. And for the fact that she was like, oh, my bad. Okay. She was like, I hear you. I understand. You know what is going on. And she still stood with the cause. Mm-hmm. Because like we talked about before, in this subsection of people on the internet, once you fuck up, that's a strike on your mark forever. And I will forever say this. There are a lot of brown people and marginalized people. They just don't like white women, and white women can do nothing right in their eyes. Mm-hmm. So anything she said, they would have found something to pick it apart. So it's like, it's a catch 22. I'm like, do you want the help or not? Do you want the allies or not? Because the way you complain about every fucking thing they do, it don't sound like you really do. Because there's nothing they can do that's right. And even when they apologize and don't double down like a lot of people do, like a lot of people would have double down. She ain't double down. She ain't be like, well, I'm sorry your feelings was hurt.
Well, I think she did double down in a way though, because she said that she quoted that poet that was like, whatever you love, you are.
So okay.
Not saying, like, I mean, I don't think she literally means it. I think she means it poetically. Correct. I think she means it in that way. I just think on Twitter specifically, on a lot of social media, there's a deeper point to be made here, which is that a lot of people have attached themselves to their identities in a way that gives them authority over the experience. It gives them a voice on Twitter. If you look at people's bios, how many bios are like, I'm trans, I'm cis, I'm disabled, I'm gay, I'm I don't know why.
So recently my son's band was signed by a record label.
I'm pansexual. Mm-hmm. I'm an immigrant. I put a flag in my bio of what country I'm from. And like, there is an element to Twitter to kind of categorize yourself,
right?
I don't know if it's that way on every social media, but I think where she said this was Twitter, and there's a reason that people would feel almost encroached upon. As she tried to have like the, we're all in the struggle together, if we care about each other, it just doesn't matter to people, because it's like, I've invested so much of my personality into, I am a blank and I talk about these issues that affect me. Even if you're my ally, then boost my voice, support my voice.
Correct.
Retweet my voice, you know, interact with me, but don't step over the line and say you are the same as me in a way that makes it seem as if you've had my same experience. And so I get why there was backlash to the way she framed it. I don't think they, now there are some people that would just have, like you said, if she's a white woman and anything, some, you know, it's the Hillary Clinton, it's the mm-hmm. Chelsea Clinton thing. Mm-hmm. Anything Chelsea Clinton would have done at that meeting was going to be the wrong thing. Correct. Show up, not show up. Speak, don't speak. Say you understand, say fuck you and double down. It just didn't matter. She was there. It was going to be roast time for some people. But I think Alyssa did step in it. I think what she said was, like I said, I read it and went, I can see how people are going to take that tweet and dunk on it all day. And agreed. That's what they did. And I don't think she meant it in a negative way.
And I think that's where I'm coming from. Yeah. I don't think she meant it in a negative way.
Yeah, I don't think she did, but like Twitter is the place for people to take intentions out and be like, this is just how I feel and this is how I can make it about me.
Correct.
You know, and so she kind of did that with the, I am trans. And then other people kind of did that with the, what the fuck you talking about? You ain't trans. Like everyone knows she's not. She was trying to make a point about empathy, but obviously it's easier to just say, no, she meant to erase me, you know?
Yeah. And she could have chose better words. She could have phrased it better. I will agree with that.
Yeah. So, and I, you know, hopefully that's not as huge an infraction as, you know, as it was seemed online at the time. You know, I think people have mostly kind of forgotten about it and moved on. So hopefully, you know, it's the kind of thing where people have moved on and it's just a big deal for a day or two. Yeah. And it's over.
Right. And also I think the thing too, where like I said, because I'm looking at her intentions and I'm looking at kind of what she said afterwards, like after she talked about the poem, I was like, oh, okay, it sounds like you're still trying to stay the course, quote unquote. So I'm like, okay, cool, but you're gonna fuck up again, which is understandable. Like that goes along with it. So I think I'm more understanding to it. Mm-hmm. I'm not as harsh sometimes. Like sometimes I could be harsh too, but I'm not as harsh and as cut offish as a lot of people, because when people talk about allyship, you need everybody, and allies are gonna fuck up. You can't be like, be my ally and be perfect. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that thinking. And then also just in general, I think there's a power in people fucking up that people, or a perceived power that you feel like you get as a marginalized person when somebody in a privileged group fucks up. And you can tell the people that are junkies of it. Like, that's all they do all day. They get high off of, you know, looking for who fucked up that day that is in a certain group. And that's one of the reasons, like, I feel like at times shit can be so unreasonable online, because reason would fuck up the party, nuance would fuck up the party, the being taking something to the extreme is the thing that keeps things going a lot of times. And for me, when I saw her tweet, I went, that's unfortunate, she shouldn't have framed it that way. But other people saw it, and that's literally like all they wanted to talk about all day was, and no, you don't do this, let me tell you what the problem is, and this is what we don't need. And I'm like, you know, to a certain extent, is I don't disagree with those people. We don't need that,
right?
And I don't think the way she said it was right, but you, like I said, it turns into like a cesspool of just attacks and attacks and attacks that I think is disproportionate to the infraction in a way, which is one of the reasons I like seeing conversations moved offline. I like seeing podcast, I like seeing panels and stuff more than I like seeing, you know, the Twitter response.
Agreed. And I think that over the past few years since the election, I've kind of calmed down. I've tried to be a lot more mature about it and get out of just seeing it through the eyes of anger, get out of just seeing it from my eyes only. Just because you're a marginalized group and just because you're a oppressed group does not mean that everything that you do and all your stances on shit is right all the time. And sometimes you can be right and still be wrong in your approach. Mm-hmm. You know, how you approach somebody matters. Tone matters. A lot of times we forget that. It's not always what you say, it's the tone.
Yeah, and then you said. People get mad and they go, tone policing. You're policing my tone. But I've been thinking about that shit. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Classrooms, right? That's where a lot of education happens, right? How do teachers talk to students? Right? Like, teachers don't, not supposed to run in there and just yell at you. Mm-mm. Or run in there and embarrass you, or run in there and threaten you. Like, we have to have some form of, we have to at least be some form of authenticity or honesty about the fact that the most conducive learning environments typically are not ones of trauma.
Right.
Social media, sometimes I feel like people try to instill trauma in a person and say you should learn from this trauma, but it's like saying that the only way a child can learn is through getting beaten by their parents. Like, every infraction is a whooping. And it needs to be emotionally abusive. It needs to be, you know, that's just how I turned out, okay? And it's like people are passing their traumas on. And that's why I don't know that it's necessarily a good learning environment. I think it's pitched that way where it's like so-and-so messed up and they tried to educate them. It's like, did you try to educate them or did y'all like roast this motherfucker and then expect them to be the bigger person and realize the mistake? Now, like I said, this is more of speaking in general. I don't think, I didn't see all the back and forth with Alyssa Milano. Mm-hmm. I just saw a lot of people like quote tweeting it and making like, you know, the same observation a million times, but, you know, and at the end of the day, I don't know that she learned from it because it doesn't sound like she changed anything. It sounded like she just went, this is my philosophy. I believe if I love you, I am you and you are me. And she didn't seem to waver off of that, even with the people coming at her. And, you know, obviously she says she thinks her feelings were hurt or whatever, but that it's not about her feelings being hurt. So, I mean, yeah, this is kind of the cost of speaking up anyway.
Yeah, and a lot of times and a lot of this, like you say, we talked about earlier about being on the internet for a sense of period of time, a lot of this is a self-fulfilled prophecy because somebody fucks up, everybody, you know, has their points, they go at them when everybody knows that in real life, nobody responds well, most people do not respond well to negative reinforcement, period. Right. You come at me with a nasty attitude, guess what? You're gonna get back a fucking nasty ass attitude because you approached me at 10, so I'm gonna be on 10, bitch. Yeah. You know, like that, that's real human nature. And
yeah, people don't like talking about that part,
right? But that's real. Yeah. And that correlates on the internet also, and like that's that nuanced shit that nobody want to talk about.
Well, when I realized that all the people that talk about tone policing were also the same people that I've never seen admit they were wrong about something,
nope,
that did not appreciate they must be talked to perfectly all the time or they will get upset with you, that's when I knew it was bullshit. I was like, no, you just want to bully people and you want to go one way, you want to talk shit to a person one way, and then when people go, hey, that's kind of harsh the way you're talking to this person, or when that person gets upset, you want everyone to go, no, the empathy should lie with you always and never with the other person. And it's a huge turnout for me because, you know, as a Libra, I believe in balance. Like, I think you get the energy you put out. So, you know, and I'm not saying there's never a time for anger or any of this shit, but some people are channeling anger from other things into what they claim to be doing, educating, communication, that shit, even activism. Some people are just channeling like their own personal trauma into that shit. And it's not actually about the work. It's not actually about the situation at hand. It's bigger than that. And I think that's one of the things I noticed when I saw people being like, you know, it's like, so if Alyssa Milano says this and you're in her mentions, like, you stupid white bitch, like, you're not helping. And you're also you literally are making it worse. Like, if we paid you money, we said someone needs to correct this shit, like educate this woman or let her know where she fucked up, we would not hire the person that on their resume said, well, I like to call them stupid white bitches. We'd be like, okay, you don't get to do the job. But on social media, no one gets to qualify who does that job. So right. Some people are going to do that, some people are not. I still think the initial infraction is something that was fucked up. I don't think I just think it's one of those things where it's like, it's fucked up, but then what's the response and how, you know, what is the appropriate response to it? And I think that's where we social media got it all fucked up.
Yeah, and back to what I was saying about how it being a self-fulfilled prophecy, because somebody fucks up, everybody gets on them. A lot of times, like you said, no lesson is learned. Mm-hmm. And particularly in situations like this, what do? They retreat back to whiteness because Nobody, not even your black ass, is going at them. Want somebody constantly telling you every fucking day how you're not shit. Nobody wants to constantly hear how they're not shit, how they fucked up, how they're not enough, how they're not perfect. Nobody wants to hear that shit. And yes, as white people as a whole has done some fucked up shit. But at the same time, if you want allies, you have to have some form of compassion.
Yeah, I think her compassion could be channeled more productively. Hopefully somebody could get at her in a way that she would be using her platform in a more desirable way. And then also I just think in general the tenor of these things online is just so non-productive, because I'm seeing now, we've allowed time, I've researched, and I've seen the results over and over again, and more often than not, these are not productive results. This mm-hmm. has not changed anything. Mm-hmm. People aren't becoming better people. People aren't becoming more educated. People aren't even becoming more aware. And I think that's a huge failure of an opportunity that social media provided us with access to people that have platforms that could have, there was some level of education that could be had, and it's not happening. I'm now speaking in general. I don't think that's what happened in this case. She does seem to be quote unquote down for the cause and committed to the fact that I'm going to piss some people off. I'm going to be wrong sometimes, and that's not going to make me take my ball and go home. And I'm glad that she's not like that. But yeah, I just think that in general, the kind of, like you said, I don't see color type of approach to this shit is not productive, especially online.
Because
I mean, it sounds crazy. I'm like, as much as I understand she might have thought she was doing well, if I was talking to her and she said I'm a black person, I'd be like, no, you're not, Alyssa. And the thing that people are trying to get her to understand is that's okay. You're a cisgender straight white woman that can still be helpful. You don't need to be me. You don't need to even speak for me.
No.
All you need to do is just be in my corner and help me get my word out there. Help me speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most helpful thing you can do, you know? And I think hopefully that kind of message would get through. But I don't think Twitter is even a good measure of like educating somebody, because so often it's just too much. It's too much of a triggering thing for the people that are initially upset by her comments. And it is too triggering for a person of privilege who was being like berated in part. I'm not saying the whole time,
mm-mm.
but a lot of it is just being berated. And then we expect you to take it and learn. And I'm just like, that's not how any classroom really works.
Man, that's not human nature.
Yeah. All right, let's see what else we have. As Firefox freezes in the background, of course. Why would it not?
Firefox, I'm not trying to be an ally either.
I am Chrome. I am Explorer.
Right?
I am everything. The mother of a man who was found dead. I am trans. I'm every woman. It's all in me. The mother of a man who was found dead in Democratic donor's apartment nearly 2 years ago has now filed a wrongful death suit against the donor and city of officials of Los Angeles. So mm-hmm. this goes back to is it Ed Buck?
Okay.
Who keeps killing gay black
men. Right. Didn't
men.
He recently have another?
Yes. Right. We talked about it.
Okay. I wanted to be sure I was piecing this. Be sure this is the same white man.
Moore was the first of two men who were found dead in Buck's apartment. The second man, later identified as Timothy Dean, died this January. His death prompted the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department to investigate, as well as revisit the investigation into Moore's death.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Sheriff's Office said in January that Buck, who has a history of donating to Democratic causes, was at the apartment when both men died. In addition to the wrongful death, Nixon's suit goes on to list 10 additional causes of action, including sexual battery, assault, battery, hate violence, drug dealer liability, negligence, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and civil rights violations. Of course, his attorneys, you know, denied everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it goes to trial, and I hope she wins.
Right, because guess what? The common factor is you.
Yeah, and I hope there's a criminal case with the second one. Because I mean, it should have been with the first man, but I hope it's one with the second one. I mean, how much more can this motherfucker get away with?
And that's that whole point. And it sounds like this is some shit he does.
People keep dying on drugs down your house. There's a fucking journal, diary or whatever, a log, where the first man who died down there used to keep a fucking journal, and he was like, "This motherfucker is drugging me up. This is what he's into." Like, that's fucking proof. The fuck else gotta happen? Like, as long as he's not in jail, then you are putting the community at risk.
Yes, you are.
He has a type. And I've seen another picture of another gay black man with him, after the dude died in January. And I'm not even trying to blame that individual. I'm saying if you let this predator run amok, you're gonna have more people in danger. And this, you know, who knows if that person knows about the other people or not, but whether he's picking up sex workers, whether it's just through Tinder and stuff, I don't know. Drug addicts, like taking advantage of people that are on drugs, I don't know. I just know that people keep dying, and he shouldn't probably be in it. Like, nobody, he shouldn't be allowed to be on the streets while that's happening. All right, let's get into some other news.
Okay,
guys, I don't have a lot of good, I have one good one. Here's one. New York City lawmaker endorses plan to break HIV prevention drugs patent. So Corey Johnson, who is HIV positive, he's a New York City council speaker, he has endorsed a plan to make Truvada and PrEP generic.
Right, so them shits won't be so fucking high.
Corey Johnson, Speaker of the New York City Council and one of the most prominent HIV positive politicians in the U.S., called for National Institutes of Health to exercise in its March in rights and break the patent held by Gilead Sciences to exclusively manufacture and market HIV prevention drug Truvada or PrEP. As an HIV plus elected HIV positive, sorry, elected official, I have a responsibility to the activists who came before me, who I believe literally saved my life. To those we have lost in the AIDS crisis, and to those who come after me, to do everything in my power to end this epidemic once and for all. Johnson said in a statement shared by NBC News, the cost of PrEP in our country reveals something deeply rotten about our healthcare system. The NIH needs to march in and break the patent immediately. This is life or death, and there is no time to waste.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I remember you saying about people wanting to change, because I think the systems have changed too. But like you said, the systems have changed. There's a lot of shit connected to this for-profit system. So in order to make it not for-profit, people still have to be able to function in this system and live and all this shit too, and pay for shit. And there's all types of stuff attached to this.
According to the PrEP for All activists, the legal justification for breaking the Gilead patent for Truvada.
Yeah, I've seen commercials for it on TV
all the time, is in section 2 of the text of the law, which states that patents may be broken if the government feels action is necessary to alleviate health or safety needs which are not reasonably satisfied by the contractor, assignee, or their licenses. Activists say Gilead's high price shuts out many people who would benefit from the drug. A single daily bill that they, when taking pill, when taken consistently, reduces the risk of HIV infection by nearly 100%.
Good God.
Yeah. What's wild about that.
But insurance is probably not, don't cover it.
What's wild about that is that, this government has to be the one to make the decision.
Right. And you know,
this government.
I don't see them approving this.
Right. These are the things I talk about. Literally kill people. They literally are killing people with this. In a statement emailed to NBC News, Gilead highlighted its patient assistant programs, which the company says reduces the cost of Truvada to under $5 for the majority of patients. Gilead's extensive efforts to provide access to Truvada for PrEP and even before as HIV treatment clearly satisfied the Bayh-Dole requirement of reasonable efforts to make an invention available for health and safety needs. That's Ryan McKeel, who's a spokesperson for Gilead, the drug company. We believe that there is no rationale or precedent for the government to exercise march in or other IP rights related to Truvada. But across the world, the generic Truvada has long been available. The cost for PrEP is roughly $25 a month in the U.S., where only Gilead is allowed to sell Truvada under its exclusive patent. 1 year supply costs over $20,000, or about $1,700 a month.
Good God.
$25 a month, $1,700 a month.
Good God. And I bet you a lot of insurance companies probably don't pay for it, a cover a fraction of that cost.
Right. $25, 100. Now, this is about that intersection though, right? We got to talk about this intersection, because when we are talking about HIV, we're talking about HIV prevention. We are talking about a disproportionate amount of black, brown, gay, and many times men that are exposed to this.
Mm-hmm.
Not exclusively men, not exclusively, like, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. all, not only, mm-hmm. but you guys know what I'm saying, is disproportionately all these groups. There's comma between all of these. You're talking disproportionately black and brown, disproportionately poor, disproportionately gay, disproportionately LGBTQ, disproportionately men. Like, all of this shit, we're talking about the access to this drug being one of, basically, you can afford to not die from HIV, right? You can afford it. We are now talking about, well, who decides who's important and what's affordable? That's a big ass gap, man. $25 or $1,700, you know, like, some shit more important than profit for your company.
Yes, sir.
And human lives is one of those things that's more important.
But it depends on who's making that decision.
But shout out to Corey Johnson, who mm-hmm. is
keep that fight up,
trying to get this shit available for everybody. That's dope. All right, let's see what other news we got today, okay? Because there is lots of news. Jess Hilarious. You all know her.
I do.
I don't.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm like, I do.
Apparently, she's a comedian of some type, like maybe an Instagram comedian. Oh yeah, in a since deleted series of videos, Instagram comedian Jess Hilarious said she felt threatened after she saw four Sikh men who wear turbans. They are not Muslim. This is a common misperception of ignorant Americans. She saw them board the same plane as her. She was immediately criticized for posting a video where she audibly made it clear that their presence on the plane made her uncomfortable.
Somebody said she was on rail.
On rail? Mm-hmm. Okay. I only watched like one episode of Rail, so. But as long as Ray Sonny's off the show, I'm good. Okay. I can now say that show is not good. Okay. cancel everybody but Ray, okay? My heart.
My heart.
The rest of you niggas can go. But yeah, Jess Hilarious apparently is an Instagram comedian that rose to fame via Instagram and is making moves, and I guess does not like having a career because you don't see other people doing this for a reason. Being like, yeah, I got some people that I assume to be Muslim kicked off of a plane because I wasn't feeling too comfortable.
And there is a difference.
What difference in what?
Sikh and Muslim.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I said that earlier. Yes, that's not the same, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't matter. If she was right and they were Muslim.
We're on our flight.
It's still fucked up.
Where are you going? Where are you going? If I'm scared, I'm scared. Fuck you. Fuck how.
So, she first films them leaving the plane.
I didn't click on this video, but this is the video.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she first films them being escorted off the plane, and then flips it to herself because people are obviously on her Instagram are being like, girl, this is Islamophobic. What the fuck are you doing celebrating this? This is ridiculous.
She was doing it live?
I guess.
Okay.
You know, it's Instagram. Everything you put on there, you can see what people think.
Okay.
She's an Instagram person, so I know she was reading that shit. Man, it ain't rocket science.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, so people went, you know, basically, hey, this is fucked up, Jess. What you doing? Like, these brown people getting kicked off, you know, and age of Trump and all this type of shit and immigration and all the stuff people dealing with. This what you want to do? Or like a mosque just
where
got
you
shot
going?
Up?
Where are you going? If I'm scared, I'm scared. Fuck y'all. Fuck how y'all feel. Y'all mad at me because I don't side with every other black person. Because I don't side with every other race. Fuck y'all. I feel how I feel. I felt threatened, and that was it. Fuck y'all. And I'm not flying there. We were evacuated, bitch. Why? Why? With no reason explained at all. No technical difficulties or nothing. Y'all gonna listen to Just With The Mess one day. Cause my news is real. So how?
This is honestly like the downside of that, like, I don't give a fuck shit people be trying to do that nobody ever talks about, which is when you wrong as fuck and you do the I don't give a fuck, it's like, okay, but you still wrong, you know. And I don't know what she can lose by doing this, because I'm just not up on her like that. I don't know what show she's on and what, but I mean, if I'm anyone that's giving her a platform, my first thought is, how do we get her off it? You know, if I'm endorsing,
oh, we was considering her, she's immediately scratched off the list.
If I'm endorsing something, if I have ads that she was, no, I don't want to do ads with you anymore. Mm-mm. Like, you're now known as the black Islamophobic person. And let me just throw this out here, because this is something I hear commonly from black people, and it's important. I understand the dictionary definition that they're trying to talk about, but this is what the fuck we mean when I'm like, yes, you can be black and still be a racist.
Right.
Yes, you can be black and still be like Islamophobic and anti-black. You can be racist against your fucking self.
Yes, you can.
Like, you can be prejudiced. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that colloquially people use racism as a shorthand for, and they go, black people can't be racist. It's like, nigga, I don't want to have a dictionary definition. You're avoiding the fucking point, which is that this is horrible.
Right. And it's coming from the same place.
This is horrible. That's what the fuck the point is. And everybody, I hate when people try to do that technical shit. You know what the fuck people mean when they talk about, like,
well
black people can be racist too. It's like, well, if your black ass is up here fucking making stereotypes about Asian people and fucking doing the slant eyes thing and saying a bunch of, you know, ignorant language, well, guess what, you are racist against Asian people. It doesn't make it any better because you black. Oh, well, I guess different from me. No, the fuck it's not. Well, I don't have the power to, nigga is whack.
Right, and you try to cover it up. What did they use? You can have biases. Okay. Well, your bias is racist, okay? Can we act like that? Yo, don't use these cute, pretty, flowery ass, vocabulary ass words to cover up the fact that you're fucking racist.
I'm not tolerating it from you just cause you black. I know some people think that's what blackness means we need to do, but I'm not. It's whack to me. You know, that, like, when people get all up in arms about, you can't talk bad about Farrakhan. The fuck I can't? Don't say that shit. He is standing for whack shit. I'm glad he gave some money to some people. I'm glad that he also says really racist, foul shit. He also says really sexist things, really homophobic shit. So no, I don't want to have to cover for him because he also happens to be a black leader. That's ridiculous. Come on now. But yeah, this is beyond the pale. She's almost finished. There's 18 seconds left in this.
How ironic is it that we boarded the same plane and I don't see those people? Yeah, we're fully boarded. Eat my ass. I'm just a mess. And my news be real. Tune in.
And then she had to delete all that shit. Why? Why you delete all them videos, Jess? Right?
Because you know what, if it had been somebody black, would you have felt the same way?
Yeah, next time they pull your black ass over for doing the speed limit, I guess we're all supposed to be like, well, they felt in danger, they don't feel safe.
Yeah, because the way you was talking sound like you were gonna stand by it and you didn't give a fuck. Apparently you gave a fuck because you deleted it.
Right, like people talk about Chelsea Clinton, man, 50 Muslim people were killed just a few days ago. You don't give a fuck, and you thought they were Muslim, which is like triple entendre. Don't even ask me how level of racism, like the amount of ignorance that you had to be like, these Sikh people are Muslims. And then somebody was like, yeah, they didn't actually get kicked off the plane, she just tried to make it seem like it happened. I said, so they didn't get kicked off the plane, but she wants to be known as a racist? How's that weird flex, but okay? How's that better exactly?
Right, because you're acting, so you're going to be coming across a lot of coworkers and producers and people on the set that comes from various different types of backgrounds.
She put out later on the internet, niggas know I'm never fucking racist, but I spotted something and I put it out earlier, and we just got evacuated from our plane, she said, while claiming that there was no reason given for the evacuation. She later posted a video in which she said she boarded the plane again and four men were nowhere to be seen. So how ironic is that, we boarded the same plane, don't see these people, she said. She posted a statement on her Instagram story, half apologized for her comments. Look, y'all, I'm not racist and never have I ever been. We have Muslims in my family. Mm-hmm. However, I was fully aware of the different types of Muslims. So yes, I admit I'm ignorant to the facts. So teach me. I got no one put off the fucking plane. I didn't even say shit to anyone else on the fucking plane about how I felt. Again, I'm sorry to all Muslims. Deeply sorry. But I am not racist, loves. Whack.
I'm trying to not fuck up your bag.
That's also that shit where, like, there's this thing with black comedians where it's like, I'm so ignorant, y'all. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Ain't it funny that I'm so ignorant? It's like, but there's no joke there.
Right.
There was What's no the craft. Punchline? Yeah, there's no craft there. You were just being racist and went, yeah, oh my God, guys, can't you see how hilarious I am? Nah, nigga, you not. Let's see what else happened. School replaces detention with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
According to a recent news article by Newsweek and the New York Times, students in detention at Robert W. Coleman Elementary School in Baltimore aren't staring at chalkboards or walls during detention. They're meditating and practicing yoga as part of an after-school program.
I am 100% with this. Because it teaches children how to channel their energy. It teaches them how to deal with anger. It teaches them how to calm down. Some adults need to even fucking have, you know what I mean, need to do shit like this. Because once I started taking yoga, one thing that I enjoy about yoga that a lot of people don't like about yoga is that when you're doing yoga, it's a you thing. You're focusing on yourself. Which means you have to get within your own mind. You have to control your breathing. It's all about you. And the last thing some people want to do is hear their own mind, because they have to deal with their own chaos in their heads. Mm-hmm. But it's a good way to learn how to calm down, to learn how to control things around you. And I think that this is a very positive thing. I think that this is the alternative that I think will be caught up, because I guarantee you, I'm gonna know you're gonna go further, but I guarantee you they probably seen turnarounds, because I guarantee you some of these children, they didn't even know this was a alternative method to exist. Do you know how many parents would love for if their child gets stressed out, if their child would just kind of get to the point where they knew, okay, let me sit down, let me center myself, let me get within my thoughts, let me calm myself down, let me rationalize these things, let me figure this out on my own and come up with my own conclusions. You help, in my opinion, you help them become a better person. Actually, you increase their critical thinking skills, because it causes them to analyze things.
Yeah, here's how the project created by Holistic Life Foundation works. Holistic Me hosts 120 male and female students in this program that runs from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. and involves yoga, breathing exercises, and meditative activities. Disruptive students are brought to a special place called the Mindful Moment Room for breathing practices and discussion with a counselor, and are instructed on how to manage their emotions. The project, which focuses on pre-kindergarten through fifth grade students, approaches punishment on an entirely different way. In an entirely different way.
Because during this age is an age where children are dealing with some emotions for the first time. They're particularly kindergarten, you're interacting with other children outside of your brothers and sisters and your family members for the first time. You're learning social skills, all types of things going on at that age.
And they report an incredible result. Zero suspensions in the last year. Comparatively, they had four suspensions 2013-2014. So, I mean, yeah, it's also just another approach to something that would put kids a lot of times in the school to prison pipeline,
right?
Where, or at least black kids, you know, who often are targeted as the kids who are the most troublesome by teachers, and then they're put into these programs that basically start isolating them away from other children, pointing out, you know, othering them, pointing out how bad and wrong they are, how dangerous they are. And this is a alternative to that. I think it's actually really cool. So
mm-hmm. And shout out to them, man. Guess what, they actually got numbers to show this shit. But if they, you know, if they try to expand this, they people will shut the shit down, because that don't profit nobody. Shit like this don't keep them in that pipeline. It actually takes them out of the pipeline. It actually make them productive citizens, and Lord knows they don't want that.
Yep. just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with. The weird side point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. All right. Tell you who's fucking with us today. Terry Crews.
Uh-oh.
Terry Crews tweeted out an apology to black men, but everyone is still mad at him. Yeah, that is that's a tricky one, Terry. He managed to just piss off everybody. I don't know how, but it went from, you know, people supporting, people admonishing, people mocking. It's always just been turmoil around this dude. Of course, remember he confessed to being a victim of sexual assault by Adam Bennett, who's a Hollywood agent. And a lot of black dudes, you know, mocked him. Some prominent black men with big followings basically attacked him. And in that same time, there were people that obviously don't fuck with those same black dudes, you know, Tariq Nasheed, D.L. Hewley, you know, because those guys also happen to be like staunch misogynists and homophobes and things of that nature. So you had a lot of people that were in the LGBTQ plus community. You had a lot of women coming for and supporting Terry Crews vocally, to the point where when he was interviewed and they asked him, you know, about it, and he said that he was actually surprised because of all the support he got from black women.
Mm-hmm.
which we talked about it at length on this show. Mm-hmm. But I think the ultimate conceit of that was he really meant this. What he really was saying was, I was really surprised and hurt by the lack of support from everybody but black women.
Right.
Like, I expected this to be a thing where either everyone supported me or nobody supported me. And I was surprised that it was, because I don't think he'd be on the internet like, well, shit, we know he don't be on the internet like that, because now we know what it looked like when he is. I think he was really shocked that nobody really had his back except for black women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his Hollywood friends, black men that were in the same communities online, like all this shit. He was just ostracized, except for black women who were like, yes, thank you for being a strong man that talks about this. And, you know, we've been through this experience as well. And a lot of people want to see you win. Well, that's not the case as much anymore. With time passes since the incident, and with Bennett getting what he deserves, Crews is taking social media to seemingly backtrack, apologizing to black men who he claimed abandoned him in his time of need. As previously reported by the Brooklyn Nine-Nine star opened up about being sexually assaulted by Bennett at an industry party back in 2017, where the man grabbed and squeezed his crotch. After speaking his truth, Crews was bombarded with emasculating comments from men claiming he was weak for failing to physically retaliate to the unwarranted gesture. Yeah, D.L. Hewley, 50 Cent, Russell Simmons, the fucking guy who was been accused of being a serial sexual abuser, was laughing at this man. So in addressing the backlash, he admitted in an interview that black women were the ones who supported him, while his fellow black men turned their backs and mocked him. Black men did not want any part of it. All my support came from black women, straight up. A lot of guys are like, man, you weak, you sorry, you should have hit him, you surprised, you should have knocked him out, you should have did all this stuff. Black women were like, no, it doesn't work like that. I was shocked at the split within my own community. So like I said, the question was the loaded question, because didn't Andy ask, like, who surprised you the most? And now this, like, because that answer, reading it now without that question attached to it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. He didn't say, I was shocked black women supporting him. He was shocked at the split. Because this is what a lot of black people end up finding out. That solidarity shit is typically on some, like, if you fit the certain parameters of what we would call, like, the black male paradigm, right?
Right.
It has to be certain things that you fit. If you're a black man who dies in violence from the police, it's easier for the whole community to support you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a black man who was raped, it's not as easy. All of a sudden people are like, and you should have fought back. Are you really a good black man if you can't stop a nigga from blah, blah, blah? Why didn't you punch him? You know, all that shit. It was everything except the easily defined, like, this is what masculinity is. Most recently, after Cruz made these statements, he took to Twitter to apologize to the black men that were hurt by his remarks. Now, this skipped over some shit. So shout out to BET.com. Being on Twitter, I saw some of this. I don't know everything that happened, but some of this was also about the fact that he asked that question about the whole, he said, he basically started advocating that black men and fathers need to be involved in their kids' lives, mm-hmm. because there's certain things you can only get from a black man in a child's life, right? And that kids need male role models and whatnot. Some people would see that as aspirational, inspirational, maybe, like, yes, encourage these black men to be around for their kids because they're important, and we're trying to teach, like, I'm sure there's a lot of single moms who are like, yes, I wish that nigga had done the right shit and manned up and been a good father instead of leaving me to do all the work by myself. Now, that doesn't apply to every relationship, right? Mm-hmm. There's abusive black men.
Correct.
There's black men maybe they're not not every person that is the father of a child is necessarily the best person to have in that child's life. I understand that. I think on Twitter, though, that's something that you won't catch a lot of people giving you the leeway to express that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gonna be like, my father burned me with cigarettes and you want him to be around me, so now you have to be like, not all right, which is a huge distraction to most discussions on the internet. But
right,
he was speaking very generally about that, but then he crossed the line. Somebody asked him for clarification because they was like, so what you saying basically is that if I like to a gay couple cannot raise a child that is like healthy and balanced and all that stuff, and he was like, I'm not saying that, but I look at fathers like vitamins. Like, parents are like vitamins. You need different parts to eat this, you know, to get a complete complete day's resource of vitamins. And men have specific shit that they give kids, and women have specific shit. And I'm not saying your child will be not a good kid or won't turn out right, but they'll be malnourished. That's the exact wrong shit to say.
No, you don't say that.
Could not think of a worse way to phrase that. Mm-mm. If you gave me all day to come up with something worse than that,
I'd have came up with
I'm not gonna be able to come up with nothing worse mm-hmm. than the way to say mm-hmm. that about people who either A, didn't have a father in their life, or were raised by, you know, two people of the same sex. It's very horrible. I don't even think there's another way to slice it. Also, you're talking about a bunch of people that supported you.
Mm-hmm.
Women, LGBTQ people were very supportive of him. Mm-hmm. So to see him say that, it hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Yes, it did.
You know, and he's been out here kind of playing fast and loose with the internet. It does not feel like Terry Crews at any point thought, I need to sit down and read up and study. Mm-mm. Feminism. I need to sit down and read up and study things about gender. I need to find, like, it doesn't feel that way. It feels like he's very charismatic, and he's just kind of been running off at the cuff, like, hey, it's me, Terry, I'm a good guy, I can say these things. And he may be a good guy, but that doesn't mean when you step into it on Twitter that there's any allowance for that.
Come on.
You know, so that's the backstory that's missing from this, because he didn't just say that shit on Andy Cohen's show 3 or 4 months ago and then just suddenly went on Twitter and started talking about this. No.
Right.
Those two things are kind of related, but keep in mind, he's been getting roasted on Twitter by the same people.
Yes, he has.
That had his back. So you got a lot of black feminist types, a lot of LGBTQ people that have been getting offended more and more at his commentary as he wades clumsily into the waters of social commentary on gender.
He was not ready for it.
Right. I've been told people when this shit started, I was like, this don't make Terry Crews necessarily a perfect spokesperson.
Mm-mm.
Like, he's still a very religious man, which we know comes with patriarchy, homophobia in a lot of cases, not every case, in a lot of cases. We don't know this dude. Just because something fucked up happened to him and we empathize with it does not give him the fucking like baton that he now speaks for everybody.
Correct.
And when you put people on those pedestals, well, this is how you end up with this shit, you know. So he's been going back and forth on Twitter with people going in and out on him, and so his comments, I'm about to read them, were, I'd like to apologize to the black men who were hurt by my comments regarding a lack of support regarding my sexual assault. Truth is, if it had not happened to me, I would have been suspicious and doubtful too. I don't find that to be that offensive.
No.
But context.
Correct.
Over these past few weeks of him going back and forth and getting chastised and black Twitter and black feminism Twitter coming at his neck, well, that had a lot of people like, what the fuck this supposed to mean? You know, because I think to a lot of people, it sounds like he's quitting. Like, let me just go back. Because he also tweeted some stuff about black men need to have like a space that's safe for us where we could talk about things without women involved. You know, to which I'm like, I don't feel like privilege works that way. You know, it's like when white people say they need a safe space. Now, I'm not saying black men have all the privilege, but in this diagram that we're drawing up, this to me feels a lot like when white people think they need a Yelp for MAGA hats. Like, we don't need that. Like, if we're committed to detoxifying, if we're committed to becoming better people as men, we need spaces where women can see that work and give us input, because we're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. We don't have all the answers. We know what we think, but we don't know how our actions necessarily affect people. Mm-mm. And unless somebody involved in that is kind of checking in to be like, what are these niggas talking about, it's going to quickly devolve into hotep shit. I'll tell you that right now. And I did see, you know, the hotep people that's been chastising him being like, welcome back, that's what I'm talking about. So it was going back and forth, like everyone was flipping sides.
Yeah, and his privilege would allow him to come out and say, if it wasn't for me, I wouldn't believe, because most women are like, yeah, I believe you, girl, and yeah, I believe that, because for women, we're victims of so much shit till we're like, okay, I believe you until prove it otherwise. For most women, you do have women that are excited, but for most of us, we're always the victim in most instances.
It's definitely more women that are willing to believe than men, for sure. Like, you know, I don't want to get into the weeds on that. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But the idea that this dude would kind of go back to black maleness, it struck me in two different ways, because on the one hand, it's kind of like, it feels cowardly that he has now gotten all this support, but he hasn't really wanted to hear any of these opinions that he disagreed with. Like, he wanted the support of, yeah, Terry Crews, you're one of the good ones, thank you for telling Tariq Nasheed this, that, and the other. And then when women started chiming in to be like, but there's some things about you should work on, he was like, fuck this, I'm out. That's how it feels. Maybe that's not what he means. Maybe he's going to continue to stick around and talk about these things, but this feels like a goodbye. Okay, so then there's part two, though. The shit that he's gone through and the way that he's been dragged and all this shit too, it's kind of back to the theme of the episode. Twitter not a good place to learn anyway.
Mm-mm.
It's just not. Like, a lot of this is grandstanding on people. A lot of this is, you didn't say that right, we're going to shun you, mock you. And this cycle has been going forth and back and forth with him for a while. And he has rabbit ears. He searches for his name on Twitter. He's not like a person that's been on there for 10 years and has gotten used to it and goes, mm-hmm. Okay, some days you just need to back off. Some days people are going to talk about you. You just got to let it go.
Out.
Right. He doesn't have that in him. So he's like hurt by every person that says, I don't think this thing Terry Crews said was cool, or this is weird. I said a long time ago, it's ironic that it basically became true, but I said, it'll be funny if the thing that gets him quote unquote canceled is his capacity to forgive.
Yep, because Twitter don't forgive.
Because what he essentially did here by saying, because he had more thoughts where he said, I was wrong to concentrate on only the negative black men. There were a lot of black men who supported me, and I just ignored them and said, I'm going to fight with DL Hewley, Tariq Nasheed, these random dudes on the internet who are like saying I should punch people and shit. I'm going to spend all my time focusing on them. And so it seems as if I'm saying, this is just black men. Black men do this, and that's all they do. And there's a ton of black men out there who are like, yo, you're a strong brother. I appreciate you. I too was molested. I too had to deal with this. You didn't do anything wrong. I support you. He ignored all of those people because that's kind of what social media can do to you. You start concentrating on the negative, and there's 99% of people fuck with you, and 1% doesn't, and that's enough. And unfortunately for him, the people that went at him had big followings.
Yes, sir.
There's 50 Cent, there's Tariq Nasheed, and there's DL Hewley. And when you're going back and forth with these people, their followers get into it too. Mm-hmm. So now it feels like you're fighting every nigga on the internet.
Yes, it does.
And so from his perspective, I do understand it is probably easier, maybe even to a certain extent healthier, for him to be like, I wish I had never done that and given them the attention. I wish I would have focused on just the positive people. And I wish I could go back to just, you know, retreating away from these people. Maybe we need a space where black men can hash this shit out away from everybody else. I don't necessarily agree with that part, but I get how he got there is my point. So those are my two takeaways from that thing. Was I think he was cowardly to quote unquote run away, but I also find it to be human, and that his capacity to forgive is the thing that's going to be his undoing, because he essentially forgave a lot of black men when he said, I should not let y'all get to me, because I too was ignorant. And when I was ignorant, I sounded just like y'all. But then it happened to me, so now I know better. And I'm trying to teach y'all better, but what the fuck am I supposed to do when y'all keep coming at me? So, and of course, there was a lot of people that went right at his neck and, you know, were like, yeah, fuck just, you, and what's wrong with you and stuff.
Chaos. People feel betrayed, because a lot of this stuff, even with Terry Crews, if you analyze most of the fallouts on social media, they end up in two camps. Not all the time, depending on where they end up, two camps end up a race, black and white, or, mm-hmm. or black and or white or brown, and it ends up in sexist men and women. Like if you really look at the root of most of the things that causes the social media, particularly Twitter, to have any form of huge chaos that rocks for days, that's it. Because this is a sex thing. Mm-hmm. It's men versus women. I can't give them niggas an inch. I can't give them bitches an inch. And they be fighting with each other no matter what. And this is just something for them to bring their agendas to the table. And the women use him as a beacon point. And now, quote unquote, hoteps feel like they got him back. So now they can just take it and beat the women upside the head, when the whole context of y'all arguing is fucking dumb to me.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, he hurt a lot of people's feelings by wading into this shit. I think he started seeing the fact that people supported him as if he was some type of like thought leader, but really, and this is the sad part, it's the most cynical part of this, but he was always more of a symbol for people, mm-hmm. than it was ever about him personally. And that's sad, but that's just the nature of what happens.
He was a mascot.
Yeah, he became a mascot for people that wanted to prove to black men that this negative toxic behavior is hurting you, it's hurting yourself, the way you treat your own brothers. Cause people for years have been saying, if a prominent black man came forward, a lot of y'all niggas would be basically mocking him. And y'all claim that y'all doing this out of like supporting black, like, it's about black men, black men, black men. We gotta support black men because we get accused of rape all the time, and so it's about black men, Emmett Till, black men. And so a black man says, it's happened to me, and a lot of black men were like, ha ha ha, that's funny. You should have fought him. And so it's hard to ignore that huge piece of hypocrisy, and it's hard not to comment on it. So now you got a lot of feminist women, a lot of black women have been arguing with these hotep type dudes that argue about gender all day.
It's real easy to get in that, go down that rabbit hole. It's real easy to.
And so now you got people arguing with them, right? And they're using Terry as this mascot, as you said, mm-hmm. as this example. But Terry's a human being. and he's not a perfect human being. Ain't, I mean, he's also got his own hangups. He, you know, he has hangups about porn and masturbation, and he has hangups about certain religious shit, you know. And whenever there's a dude that's like super religious, I know for a lot of people that, especially when it's a black person, it gives them like, oh yeah, I love religious black people. That means they're safe. To me, I'm like, that person could be homophobic. That person could be misogynistic. That person could be Islamophobic. You don't know shit. If you've been to a black church, you know that that does not necessarily mean you're all good. White people treat it like it's all good because it typically means that you are not too radical politically, but that shit don't necessarily mean that they're not all these other things. So yeah, it was just kind of interesting to see this cynical, you know, like from a cynical point of view, to see what happened with him, because I knew it was coming when he was put on that pedestal by people that really did not know much about him other than he was sexually assaulted and is a very charismatic guy. And so then you have these moments on Twitter where it's like people show they're not perfect. How do you react to that? Because everybody has that moments. And when that happens, most people get defensive. And Twitter's not very good at having like a level of understanding about imperfection.
Mm-mm.
It's like, okay, you were imperfect. Let me show you how perfect I am. Let me show you how much better I am than you. And then this cycle happens where they retreat, where they run away, they quit, they give up, you know, or they backtrack or whatever. So then there's this other part where the hotel, same thing with them. Now they welcome him, they're welcoming him back, but they're only doing it to spite these feminists. They're not,
right?
These are the same people that mocked him, and they don't feel differently.
Mm-mm.
They don't feel differently. You know, it was just a big ass clusterfuck. And, I don't think anyone's better for this happening. I don't even think anyone learned anything.
Nope.
Like, it was just so sad that we came back here and it's like nobody learned shit.
And y'all
from this whole ordeal.
Right, and everybody's gonna be arguing as soon as this shit die down. Y'all gonna be arguing something else about men versus women, because that's what they do.
Yeah, man. This is a huge bummer for me, you know, because I don't really hold anything against that dude.
Mm-mm.
But I just don't know that he was ever supposed to be anybody's spokesperson.
Right.
You know, and I think people wanted him to be more than he was, mm-hmm. so that they could get another point off against the hotel, so get another point off against the black feminists, and this you basically just fucked this dude up in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because you seeing him fuck up in real time.
Yeah And like I said, once I see him on Twitter searching his name and responding to shit and people being like, you probably shouldn't do that, and he was like, what's wrong with that? I'm looking for my name, they talking about me. And I'm like, see, you don't even have any idea how this is gonna fuck up your brain.
Yeah, you didn't go, I mean, I don't know like what his status is, but you don't have somebody, you be like, hey, social media person or person that is on the internet more than me, how does this work? And somebody somewhere, believe you me, would have been like, hey, you don't want to do this. Or you, but they'd be like, you know what, hire somebody to handle your account, just work and let them post pics of you having a good time at whatever event you is, just let them talk about where you gonna be and your shows, and just let that be your social media. Because at the end of the day, people will never admit this, at the end of the day, it's a lot of people, when they follow people, they don't really want their opinions about shit, they just want whatever that person represents. So people will never admit that, because then they want you always on. So people complain about Beyonce and Jay-Z and some of these other people, and why some celebrities, all you get is, this is where I'm gonna be, this is my photo shoot, see, I'm having fun here, and you get nothing fucking else from them. They're boring. Yes, they're boring, because they're forced to be boring, because if they stop voicing their opinion, they're gonna have to deal with motherfuckers talking about, why are you talking about that, why don't you stay on brand, I don't care about what you got to say about this, I don't care about what you got to say about that. And that people act like you're supposed to always be on, when in reality that's not real. But when it comes to the internet, particularly the way Twitter functions, that's why you have a lot of people that be like, look, here's some money, run my account, I don't want anything to do with my account, in fact, don't show me anything. If I see anything, I only want the positive shit, that's what I'll retweet and apply and respond to.
Yeah, it was like I said, as it's different once you become like a person that people follow.
Correct.
It's a totally different experience. Most people won't ever really get there.
Mm-mm.
Because it, like, if you follow by friends or people that are like-minded, once you get to a point where people are following you that don't really know that much about you and don't care about you,
right,
it's a different experience. It's why it drives so many people crazy, and people be out here wilding out and fighting everybody and all this stuff. It makes you paranoid, because now human beings are not necessarily designed to know what everyone is thinking about them all the time. It's not healthy.
Right. And then, a lot of times people that don't have a lot of followers that they know on social media like that, a lot of their responses, a lot of times, I'm not trying to be funny, are irrelevant, because if you've never experienced hundreds of thousands of people tweeting and atting you and calling you bitches and hoes and calling you outside of your name all at once, when you've never had to experience that, you, in your mind, you just think at it, look at it from your perspective. And when you don't have as many followers, your social media experience is not the same.
Yeah. So, 0 to 100.
100 for everybody that was mad, but for me, I don't give a fuck. Zero. I don't care, because at the end of the day, it all boils down to this men versus women and hoteps versus feminist shit, and they're gonna argue about that shit regardless. And he was just a mascot that just happened to get caught up in real time and going back and forth. So that's not funny. I don't care.
Yeah, for me, I think I give it like a 50, because it did fuck with me a little bit to see how the missed opportunity all this was and how badly this all went.
Agreed.
And to the point where, you know, it was fuck Terry Crews for a lot of people. And it's like you just look back on it like, man, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And also, I think too, with being a veteran on social media, it's some stuff that happens, and you like you said, you can almost predict how it's going to end sometimes once you see it happens, because it's like a cycle that constantly repeats.
Yeah, it's just conglomeration of all the things that are bad about this, like, society of let's promote this guy who we haven't vetted on any level really.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make him the cudgel we beat these other dudes with, and then to the point where his capacity to forgive, I think, is not necessarily a bad thing. Like,
no,
like if I read the comments, I didn't read the responses to it.
Mm-mm.
But if you read the responses, they're not as nuanced as what we're talking about. There's a lot of like, I believed in you, how could you?
Mm-hmm. They hurt.
But look at the tweet. The tweet didn't say fuck y'all.
No, it didn't.
It didn't say anything bad about black women, gay people, or anything. The tweet said he had been thinking only of the negative with black men, and he apologized for that. That really shouldn't be an unforgivable sin.
Right.
It's just what it symbolizes when you put him as a pedestal of, you know, the guy, like, I'm rooting you on because you called D.L. Hewley out on his shit. I'm rooting you on because you called Tariq Nasheed out on his shit. I'm rooting you on because you called Russell Simmons and 50 Cent out on their shit. And that's what we do all day. We call these people out on their shit, but we're not big enough to get their attention. And you are, Terry. So now we're going to invest in you in a way that's not necessarily healthy, because you're a human being. And how you feel today, you may not feel tomorrow. And you're also a human being with a great capacity for forgiveness. That's one of the things about him. He's not really your type of nigga for a lot of these people that made him.
No.
Like you don't forgive shit. I've been around long enough to watch people that literally don't ever forgive anybody.
Correct.
And I'm watching him, a guy who's actually pretty forgiving. When people fuck up racially, mm-hmm. he's like, nah, we gotta think about my sister so-and-so. She made a mistake, but that shouldn't be this. Like, he consistently is on that wave. I've noticed that for years. And so I said, that shit is going to come to a head. When you have a huge group of people that support you that don't forgive anybody.
Mm-mm.
And then your matrix is made up of, I like to lean towards religiosity and forgiveness. That shit is going to bump at one point. And especially when you have rabbit ears towards the internet, you're going to realize a lot of your response is being dictated by your following.
Right.
You're just doing what you think these people want to see to a certain extent. And you find yourself and go, that's not really what I want. Now you got to deal with the backlash of people being like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't, I don't, like, we'll see how he handles that.
Not ready.
All right, last one. Inside 100 million police traffic stops, new evidence of racial bias.
New evidence. New shit. More racism. Thought you knew.
Stanford researchers found that black and Latino drivers were stopped more often than white drivers based on less evidence of wrongdoing.
No shit. You didn't have to spend money for that answer.
100 for giving them the money to do this study. I feel like we could have told y'all. How much more evidence do y'all need?
I don't know, but I feel you on that one. But to an extent, I'm glad they're giving them the money, because now there's actually facts. There's actually something in writing, and it's not brown people and marginalized people just making up shit about this. Now you go, no. Here's a study, a real study done by people with degrees and shit. Like, come on now. And I know most the people that don't can't go give a fuck, but at least you're gonna have something when you go to people and they spew out the stupidity. Mm. A lot of times when you're trying to get funding and all that shit, you can go over and be like, hey y'all.
But it's been studied.
Of course.
We cover these studies every like couple of months. It's a new study. Just retweet the old study, save the money, and start doing something to make it stop.
Correct.
Anyway,
I feel you.
It's 100 for me, but what about you then?
Oh, yeah, 100. No, 75. I give it a 75.
Okay. Roseanne Barr blames Michelle Obama for why everyone thinks she's trash. She said to the Sunday Times Magazine.
That old Chelsea Clinton connection I see.
What you mean?
Remember how that girl was talking about she was the reason why those people got killed? That, you know, trying to put apples and oranges and say they match, dog.
So I guess at the time, Michelle Obama well, I guess it's her turn, because she's already blamed Wanda Sykes and Whoopi Goldberg. So at the time, Michelle Obama must have retweeted it and put this tweet is unforgivable. Did she do that? I don't remember her doing that. You know what? That's taking Roseanne's word. Anyway, this is what Roseanne said. She said, this tweet is unforgivable. That's what I was told. And I tend to believe it, because the woman who fired me is now working with Obama's at Netflix. Also, this is something she's claiming Michelle Obama said privately, that the tweet was unforgivable. How the fuck would that mean you got fired? None of us knew. None of us knew that Michelle felt that way. I mean, we knew, but we didn't. She never told us. In case you missed it, Roseanne's reboot was canceled, blah, blah, blah. Ambien lies. First, Roseanne wrote on Twitter, it's all because of Ambien. That didn't work. So then she deleted the tweet. And then they brought up that 2013 tweet where she called Susan Rice. She compared her to a monkey, said she had a man with big swinging eight balls. Mm-hmm. She defended herself by saying she didn't even know Jared was black. I thought the bitch was white, as you guys remember. Mm-hmm. It's a very poignant moment in the Roseanne Barr saga.
Come on.
She had to let us know that.
What she thought.
Right. She could not help herself. I think I have that clip around here somewhere. And I do.
I thought the bitch was white! God damn it! I thought the bitch was white! Fuck!
So, we'll see. 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh, 100, because it's Roseanne. She going to be up there on that permanent 100 list, because right now, anything she says is just out of stupidity.
Yeah, I think she's out. I think she's made it to the permanent 100 list.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but let's go to the game. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's right, it's time for guest the race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is some form of a racist. Mm-hmm. Today being no exception. All right. Let me get us back live again. I went to the next session while we're doing that and bring everybody over. And then we'll start the guessing of the races. All right, let's see.
Okay, we can keep going. We live?
Yeah, we should be. Let me see. Oh yeah, we're live and recording.
Oh yeah, my PC gave me a sad face and said, "Yo, computer ran into a problem. I got to restart." So
okay, cool. Well, I'll get it into the games.
Okay.
And then
I'm gonna work my way back out.
Yeah. All right, let's see here. A man takes an AK-47 to middle school after receiving a call from his crying son.
Okay.
That's reasonable. Sometimes it happens. You get a call from your son, it makes you very worried. Florida. A West Palm Beach man has been arrested after he was accused of bringing a loaded AK-47 to a middle school after receiving a call from his crying son. According to WPBF, 28-year-old Christopher Freeman told school police he would have received a FaceTime photo, a phone call from his son during school hours. Freeman said the boy, who was in tears, told him a teacher had slammed him. While speaking to his son, Freeman said the boy was grabbed by an adult. He saw his son's phone fly from his hands. Police said Freeman then headed to the school to check on his son. School officials said that Freeman arrived on the campus. He threatened violence because of what happened. The school was placed on lockdown and Freeman was arrested. According to WPTV, police said they found a loaded Remarque Suger, AK-47 mini Draco pistol. Freeman has since been charged with possession of a weapon on school property, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, and disturbing the peace. He's currently being held on $75,000 bond. He's also been ordered to stay away from the school. Man, how you gonna get his son? I don't know if his son is better off with that.
I don't know. Guess he won't be picking him up no more.
Karen, guess the race of Mr. Christopher Freeman.
White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. I'll tell y'all. Y'all tell them guess.
Thank you.
Race. All right. Okay, we got some guesses. Iyala voice, not on my watch, black. Boldly showing up with a gun to school, white. He has an intent to bring heat, black. A Freeman that doesn't mind getting arrested, black. Whole ass nigga. Freeman no more, black. He is alive, white. Young Draco with the Draco, pull up niggas. I found a unique way to disappear from my son's life, black. And last name Freeman with the AK-47, black. The correct answer is, and all of you were very split on this, so if you said black, you got it right. If you said white, you got it wrong. Karen, you got it wrong. Some of you guys did get it right. Man, them neck tattoos are a dead giveaway.
Not the neck tattoos.
I'm just saying, them neck tattoos should have let you know what you was dealing with, okay?
Wasn't no games up in this bitch.
Now, the real question is, did his son get slammed by a teacher? All right?
That's a good question.
All right, let's go to the next one. A Ben Salem man admits to fatally shooting his roommate over a discarded Chick-fil-A bag.
Oh, shit now.
It must not have happened on a Sunday.
Mm-mm, eat more chicken, apparently.
A Bucks County, Pennsylvania man told police he was so upset with his roommate because he left an empty Chick-fil-A bag in their apartment late Saturday. He initiated a violent argument that turned fatal. Gregory Hilton, 40, was charged with criminal homicide and possession of an instrument of a crime. According to court records, he remains in custody at county jail and he has been denied bail. Hilton called police in Ben Salem Township late Saturday, telling the dispatcher that he had accidentally shot his roommate, Sharif Simpson, 25, during an argument. When officers arrived at the unit the men shared, they found Simpson lying on a bloodstained bed in one of the apartment's bedrooms. According to affidavit, a probable cause filed in the case, Simpson was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Hilton told officers that he and Simpson were co-workers and had been living together for several months. Investigators said the two worked at Dove Daily Care, a home health care service headquartered in Philadelphia. earlier that evening, Hilton had called Simpson a pig because he left the empty bag from the fast food restaurant on the couch in the apartment's living room. The two began to argue. The dispute turned physical when Hilton shoved Simpson into Simpson's bedroom. And there, the men wrestled on Simpson's bed, during which Hilton pulled out a 9mm handgun registered to him, and he hit Simpson in the shoulder with his muzzle. Hilton said the gun had gone off accidentally and that he wasn't even that mad at the roommate. I mean,
what?
Now that he's dead, I guess you can say that. On Sunday, Simpson's teammates at the Cumberland Valley Hitmen, a semi-professional football team that played in central Pennsylvania, mourned his death. Well, that's an unfortunate name, the Hitman.
Right, all right.
This motherfucker got shot to death. That was on brand.
I know, they thought they was being cool with that name.
Right. Also, I don't know that it's an alibi to tell the cops I wasn't even that mad. Yeah, I killed him, but like I was only like a 5 out of 10, you know?
That don't matter to them.
On Sunday, Simpson's teammates mourned his death. In a Facebook post, the team wrote that that their victory Saturday over the Harrisburg Sharks was bittersweet. It is with heavy hearts that we have to report that one of our brothers was murdered last night. The post about Simpson said, "Our deepest condolences go out to his family and friends. You will be missed, sir. Number 18. Karen, guess the race of Mr. The guy who did the shooting, which is Gregory Hilton.
White.
Karen is saying white for Gregory Hilton. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Let me tell them to guess.
Yeah, I'm still trying to work my way in now.
No problem. He was really mad. Da, 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 da. So white. His roommate sound black, so I'm going black. Hitman and the Sharks. Okay. Sharks. Eat more chicken, just not my chicken. Black, eat your I ain't your damn maid. Black, petty ass white boy. This is not a swarm and warm and fuzzy as an odd couple. Killer is white. Black, Chick-fil-A, aka black. Niggas love chicken and will shoot your ass. Plus, roommate name is black, so he black too. It was my pleasure to kill you, black.
Oh no.
Oh, Juwan. He called the police and played the victim white and black. The correct answer is, Karen, you said white?
Yes.
Well, you are now 0 for 2.
Oh no! See. I'm having a rough time. You said Bojangles, Popeyes, you know, Rick and them Chicken Shack. I'd have been like, okay, black.
Are you trying to say black people don't eat Chick-fil-A?
They do.
That can't possibly be what you're saying.
They do, but it'd have been easier to narrow it out.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about your alibi on this one, Karen. Niggas love Chick-fil-A.
They do.
Homophobia and Chick-fil-A. Two staples of the community.
Right.
And of course some of you guys
of course, dig it. Some of you guys dig it.
Hold on. Some of y'all got it right, so you get the applauses. And that's him. Is it showing on screen?
Yes it is.
Yep.
Mm-mm. He did that.
Over some damn Chick-fil-A. He probably just mad he ain't getting none.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm. I mean, you do something like that, you expect to solve it with just, you don't have to kill him, maybe just give him a two-piece. All right. They don't even sell pieces of chicken there, so.
Right. He that's what happened. He was like, you ain't give me a combo, so I'm gonna give you this combo.
Yeah, I like to order a number 9mm. Now look, if you're in the audience and this man happened to also used to be your roommate, or maybe y'all went to high school together, I am sorry, and I understand if you had to quit our show after years of listening to us laugh about other death. Let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race.
Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race. Bonus round gets the race.
Hey, baby. Mm-hmm. He walked in there like, Lemonade, do I gotta beat you like Beyonce was swinging that bat?
I don't.
What? In the Lemonade, how she was swinging the bat in the yellow dress.
What that got to do with Chick-fil-A?
Lemonade. And a lot of people drink Chick-fil-A lemonade.
Okay. All right. You know what? I know what you want.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just like Chick-fil-A customers, I don't want no beef, Karen.
No, you don't. You don't want me to have to dip you like he dipped that man out of his life. took that man life.
A 90-year-old Memphis woman points a gun at a victim over leaves in her yard. Memphis police arrested a woman who pointed...
Were they dancing leaves? Were they dancing leaves or just regular leaves?
Like leaves from a tree. You know?
I mean, she got mad. The person got mad, so I assumed that they were dancing. It wasn't just regular leaves laying around. They were doing some shit to cause you to do all this.
Dancing
to go
leaves.
To the extreme.
Like dancing in the wind?
Yep.
I don't think that would bother
you pulling out the gun. What the fuck are them leaves doing out there for you to be like, you know what? I've had enough of you fucking leaves.
I mean, I don't, you make it sound like the leaves. She pointed the gun at a person, not the leaves. That's not how she went to jail. You make it sound like the leaves came in her yard.
The leaves committed the crime and she was like, I know you did it.
Because that was causing a disturbance.
Yes, they was.
They're like, turn off that goddamn rap music and get out of my yard, you dancing leaves.
Come on.
They laid down some cardboard.
Yeah, they did.
My recital. I think it's very vital.
Oh, we about to get down.
That's right. Come on. Here we
go. They were just breakdancing on the front
of
the yard.
Yeah, they was like, we know that make this bitch mad. Mm-hmm. Hey.
That was.
Yeah, the human came out there go, y'all beat boxing again. Stop it. Y'all know y'all gonna make her mad.
They was rooting each other on.
You know that was.
Go Oak. Go Oak.
Yes.
Go Oak.
Go Pine.
Go Pine.
Go Pine.
Oh, Pine can't do nothing. He just laying there.
Maple. Go Maple.
It's your birthday. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think. I think when we read the article, we'll find out that's not what happened.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's where my mind went. My bad.
A Memphis woman has been arrested because she pointed a gun at someone over leaves. According to police officers, they talked to the victim who said Bessie Bowen pointed a gun at her because of leaves in her yard. 90 years old. That's where that name comes from. They don't make no more Bessies, do they?
No, they don't.
Any of y'all know a Bessie?
Mm-mm.
Like a Bessie that didn't make it through the Great Depression?
Mm-mm. You are 80, 60 plus.
Somebody
70 plus.
Somebody in our audience, y'all have a baby and name it Bessie. We need to bring that back. During the altercation, the victim took photos and videos of the woman pointing the gun at her, police said. Bowen agreed to let officers search for the gun. However, they only found the holster. Oh, she got more years hiding guns than y'all guys finding them for sure.
Come on. She a pro.
The victim also told police that she had an order of protection because the suspect assaulted her in the past.
Oh.
Bowen was charged with aggravated assault and violation of the order of protection. Guess the race of 90-year-old Bessie Bowen.
Bessie Bowen. That's a very old name. The besties that I know are all black. There might be a white one, but I'm going to go black on this one.
Karen's going black for double the points, double the race. What say you, chat room? Black granny, that was my grandmother's, okay. Black, white, Bessie ain't playing that shit. She is black. Those niggas wouldn't leave her alone. White, they wouldn't leave her alone. White prune. White women named Elizabeth go by Lizzie or Betsy. Black women go by Bessie. Black. What I say about putting that shit in all in my yard, black ass granny. Black Bessie down on the beat, down on beat, a nigga Lane. Black, I'll shoot you in the pinky toe, Black. Aww. Black, Bessie with the Smith & Wesson, Black. White, because of the gun. I'm inspired by this original Memphis Womane, Black. And white ass Bessie. The correct answer is, and Karen, you missed the first two. And it looks like you're gonna change the tide. You got it right.
Yay!
Many of you did say white and y'all missed it.
Ooh, them curls, them curls, the pink curl, the pink rollers, honey, she slept her hair tied up, cause you know, you put them pink rollers in your hair, them shit stay in your hair for days, you can't sweat it out, burn it out, them curls is gonna be her hair forever.
You know, she was like, before y'all take me downtown, let me get my rollers out, I can't be taking this mugshot looking a mess.
Probably tied up.
You know, I gotta go to church Sunday and they ain't gonna be picking on me in church talking about my mugshot. She could give a good goddamn too. Like, yes, I pointed, they should have kept them damn leaves out my yard. You know, I don't play that. All right, well, Karen, you did go 1 for 2. And I'm gonna give you a chance to get one more right.
Yay!
All right. Double the bonus round.
Okay.
Police! A woman pulls gun in Domino's after employees forgot to include chicken wings with her order.
Oh, shit!
A customer at St. Paul's Domino's is accused of pulling a gun on a store employee after they neglected to include her chicken wings with her order. Officers say they responded to a report of a woman pointing a gun at Domino's employee Thursday at the store's... it doesn't really matter, address, Grand Ave, location. The employees say the woman was upset about the food that had been delivered to her house and demanded a refund. When one of the employees called 911, the woman fled in her vehicle. Police located the suspected vehicle outside the suspect's home in Dayton Avenue and identified her as a 59-year-old Holly Webb. After taking her into custody, a Domino's employee confirmed Webb was the customer who had pulled out the gun in the store. Upon questioning, Webb told police initially she had a permit to carry, but her gun was in the glove compartment of the car and that she did not point at anyone in the restaurant. After police told Webb there was some surveillance video of the incident.
No shit!
She admitted to displaying it, but continued to not point at anyone. But then that would be on the video, ma'am. Webb was charged with one felony count of violent threats. Her bail was set at $10,000. Guess the race of Holly Webb.
Okay. Holly, I'm going white. Holly. Okay.
Karen's going white for Holly, everyone.
Like, let's go Holly to the chat room. Yes, white.
A lot of chicken gun violence in today's Guess the Race. I'm going white. Chicken wings and guns today. Black folks don't play about their chicken. Found in the web of lies, white. Don't mess with niggas and their chicken, Black. Tyler Perry presents the Blacks and they chicken, white. Aww. Stick to the lie, white. Negress named Hollywood, Black. Charlotte's Web, Black. White cheese sauce on her pizza, white. White. Look at Blue Mane. Oh, LOL at Blue Mane. Okay, yeah, that's cool. So Karen, you saying white? The correct answer is she's Black. Some of you did get it right. She looked very angry still.
Oh, she looks highly upset. And she still wants them chicken wings fried hard.
Ma'am, they're supposed to bring you the piece. You're not supposed to bring them the piece.
Come on.
To the pizza place, okay? Good grief. Alright, let's go and do some sore ratchetness and get out of here.
Yeah. you see the difference between between her and the old lady? The old lady was like, I will not get my mug shot. Taking with my hair fucked up.
Well, they caught her at the old lady was at the house.
Mm-hmm. They caught this lady at home too, because she
was in her car.
Oh, she was in the car
on the way back from the pizza place.
They got your address. Ain't that the first place they're gonna look? Duh.
A sword wielding man was shot and killed by officers after setting a fire in North Carolina.
Oh shit.
Mount Holly, North Carolina. A lot of hollies in this
area.
Police say they shot and killed a man who jumped from the window of a North Carolina home with a sword after setting a fire in a bedroom.
What?
Mm-hmm. News outlets report that Mount Holly police responded to a domestic disturbance Saturday morning in the Dutchman Meadows community. Police released no details on the identity of the man who died or the officers who shot him. After setting the bedroom on fire, jumping out a second story window, Police Chief Don Roper said officers caught up to the man and shot him after a confrontation, and he died at the scene. Nobody else was injured. Damn. Be careful out there, man.
Be careful.
Motherfuckers is burning. They adding arson to the sordery.
Right. Like, he was white.
Yeah, this is getting, I don't have his race. Okay. You blew all the other ones, Karen. Let's just give it up, okay? So for you. All right, y'all. Thank you for listening.
put me in the bag of rice.
I know for sure Wednesday, Justin will be here to do our recap of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
So, that should be very fun. We might do a show tomorrow even. Maybe even also early like this. Depends on how we feel.
Depends.
For everybody else, we'll talk to y'all later, and we appreciate y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.